Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, now through your word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. You tell us that you love us. Lord, let us through your word sense your love for us tonight. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight the theme that I want to give you is the theme that you have heard from the very first time you stepped into church. God loves. That's it. And I want you to hear tonight that God loves you. He really does. That wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you've done, God loves you. And He has a wonderful plan for your life. He desires that you would be in relationship with Him and that you would grow in grace and that you would live out the faith once for all delivered to the saints and that you would become everything He created you to be by trusting and following Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. God loves you. I think that was the very first truth I learned when I was 3 years old and went into a Sunday school class for the very first time. And I remember that. God loves me. But I wonder sometimes why, even though that's one of the first truths that we ever learn about God, why is that one so hard to believe sometimes? You ever struggle to believe that God loves you? You ever think that maybe you've done too much? Maybe you've gone away too far? Maybe God doesn't look at you with love anymore? Well, I've felt that way. Can I tell you something? That is the lie of the devil. If you're a human being, God loves you. You are created in His image, and you are worthy of kindness and dignity and respect. And you have received and are receiving now, whether you feel it or not, the all-surpassing love of God. And His desire in His love for you is that you would be with Him forevermore. Well, this past Sunday, we looked at the story of Jesus encountering the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and we saw that Jesus, who is God in flesh, loved this woman in a way that she had never been loved in her entire life, and He changed everything for her. And again, we're going to go to a psalm, and we're going to see the love of God magnified in one of the psalms. In fact, I want to invite you to open your Bible to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, it is a psalm of David. And you're going to hear these words, and I believe that God's going to show you His love for you and all the ways that He's working in your life and ministering to you through His holy word. So Psalm 103, look with me first at verses 1 through 5. David writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." The first point that I want to give us tonight is this: God blesses us. God blesses us. Can you say tonight that God has blessed you? Yeah. I love that song that we sing at Thanksgiving. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. If you're like me, it's easy to get caught up looking at all the things that go wrong instead of focusing on all the ways in which Almighty God has overwhelmingly blessed us. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God has done things for you you may have forgotten about, but they are so powerful nonetheless. If you're in Christ, He has forgiven your iniquity. The Bible says that He has separated your sin from you as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. So that sin from your past that keeps you up at night, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, God has not only forgiven that sin, He's forgotten that sin. He has forgiven your iniquity. The Bible says that He heals our diseases. And you may have had a powerful story where God intervened and brought healing into your physical body. You may have had a powerful story where God intervened and brought healing to you in your mental health or healing to you in your emotional health. God has brought healing. And you may be asking, what about those people who get sick and they don't get healed? Well, can I tell you that if you're in Jesus Christ, there is a healing that comes for you eventually and ultimately. Paul summed it up like this: "For to me," he said, "to live is Christ and to die is gain." What was he saying by that? He was saying that as long as I'm alive on this planet, I will magnify Jesus Christ. But at the moment my life on this planet comes to an end, I will flee to be with him. If I'm away from the body, I will be at home with my Lord. And so some people are healed by being taken home to be in the presence of their Lord, in the place that he has prepared for them. They will never again struggle with any physical ailment whatsoever. They will never again deal with any sort of pain whatsoever. It is the ultimate healing, so that in Jesus Christ we are able to say, "Where, O death, is your victory? And where, O death, is your sting?" Because Jesus Christ has overcome even our greatest enemy, the grave. So he heals our diseases. He redeems our lives from the pit. How far has God brought you as you've trusted and followed Jesus? One thing I like to do in my personal life is I like to look at my life today compared to my life some amount of time in the past. So, for example, I may say, what does my life in Jesus Christ look like today compared to my life in Jesus Christ 1 year ago? Or what about 5 years ago? Or what about 10 years ago? And you know, when you look at your life in Jesus Christ over that amount of time, you can't help but see the transformation that he is making in you. You ought to be better than you used to be. And if you're not, surrender your life to him yet again and say, "Lord, help me." It's not that you have to try harder to get better. It's that you surrender more of you to him to say, "Lord, make me more like Jesus." And he'll do it. He crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies us with good. He renews our youth like the eagles. The Bible says even youths grow weary and young men grow faint. But they who trust in the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what our God has done for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. God blesses us. Well, now look with me at verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Second point that I want to give you is this: God knows us and loves us. God knows us and loves us. I want you to think about something. God knows everything there is to know about you, more even than you know about yourself. He knows you to a degree that you can't even fathom. He not only knows the number of hairs on your head, he knows the number of cells in your body and everything they're doing. And he loves you. You know, sometimes when I'm praying, I'll just tell the Lord this: "Lord, I don't deserve anything from you but wrath." And that's the truth. I've sinned. I've broken his law. I deserve his judgment. I deserve his wrath. I don't deserve anything good from him whatsoever. And yet, in his great love for us, he has given us his son, and he has given us every good and perfect gift. He has blessed us in ways that we can't even fathom, and we deserve nothing good from him. We deserve nothing from him but wrath, but he loves us. And so what does he do? Well, he blesses us. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. I love this imagery. We just sent a rocket into space from the United States of America for the first time in a long time. You think about how far that rocket traveled and all the money and all the research and all the time and all the expertise that went into making that happen. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's the degree to which God loves you. And then the Bible says that if you're in Christ, He has separated your sin from you. How far? As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Well, it's a sliding scale because the east and the west keep getting further and further apart, isn't it? Casting Crowns wrote in a song that the distance between the east and the west is one scarred hand to another. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, He has satisfied the wrath of God that was due to us for our sin, and He has separated us from our sin so that He holds our sin against us no more. So that when I stand before Him in judgment, I have one plea. Jesus Christ died for me and paid in full my debt of sin. And you know what? That's enough. That's enough. God blesses us as a father who shows compassion to His children. You know, Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, who of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if his son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent instead? Well, of course, the answer is, I'm not going to do that. And then Jesus says this, if you then who are evil compared to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you as you come to Him humbly in faith? It's an amazing thing to see how God knows us and how God loves us. All right, verse 14. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. The third point, God brings us into His eternal kingdom. God brings us into His eternal kingdom. You know, just before I came here to preach this sermon, I spent time with a family who lost a loved one. They lost a woman who served the Lord for nearly a century, a woman who sought to ensure that missionaries were supported in prayer and supported financially, who sought to ensure that children and families would be blessed as they experienced the love of God, and that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And as I met with this family, we were all sad because we missed this dear saint. But in the midst of the sadness of our grief, there was a sense of great joy that transcends even the sadness that this dear servant of Almighty God is at home with her Lord. And I wonder how many children who might have even passed before her, or parents of children who've gone on before her, have now greeted her to say thank you for loving us and showing us Jesus. I wonder how many missionaries have greeted her to say thank you for ensuring that we were able to fulfill the calling to which the Lord called us by praying for us, by coming to see us and help us, by financially supporting us. I just wonder if there are people in heaven today who are there because she so faithfully funded missionaries who took the gospel to a place it might otherwise not have gone. And I just wonder if they've approached her to say, thank you for being faithful. Now, the Bible tells us that in Jesus Christ, we are greater than this world. That He came to inaugurate a kingdom that was not of this world and to welcome us into it. And indeed to welcome anyone who would come to Him in repentance and faith. And so we know that this world is not all that there is. There is a greater joy, a greater glory, a greater home awaiting us in Jesus Christ. Jesus has brought us into His eternal kingdom. Look at verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Last point I want to give you tonight is this. God allows us to bless him in return. How about that? The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. That God is the originator of all of our blessings, that every good thing emanates from his very, very nature, his very self. And he allows us to bless him in return. How do we do that? Well, we join with all the angels, we join with all creation, we join with all the host, and we ascribe worth to him in praise and worship. We present our lives to him as living sacrifices. In other words, we say, God, take my ransomed life and use it any way you please. I deserve nothing from you but wrath. You have blessed me. You have loved me. You have forgiven me. You have cleansed me. You have made me new in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, take my ransomed life that you paid for with the blood of your Son. And use it any way you please. I'll go anywhere you want. I'll do anything you want. Whatever you want, that's what I'll do, Lord, so that the world might come to know you, that they might magnify you in your glory, and they might know you in your love. That's the call of Almighty God, and that's how we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord with our lips when we worship him, and we bless the Lord with our lives when we serve him. So bless the Lord, David says, O my soul. If you're in Christ, you live as one who is divinely and supremely favored, both in this life and in the next. You've been forgiven. You've been called God's child. He loves you with a love that is so perfect you cannot even understand it, and neither can I. But it is real nonetheless. And so here's our call. Let's say, God, use our lives in whatever way you want. We're yours. Our lives are a blank check before you. Send us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Bless the world through us, Lord. Let them see you and know you. Let's do that this week. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for all the many ways in which you've blessed us. It is unbelievable what you've done for us and what you keep doing for us. We confess, Lord, that we deserve nothing from you but your wrath. But in your great love for us, you have blessed us in ways we cannot even count. So, Lord, we say thank you. And we say, take our ransomed lives and use them anyhow, any way you choose. Lord, we pray that the world would be better because you're in us and we're in the world. And we pray that every human being would experience the love of God through us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we join yet again our voices and our hearts to pray that prayer that you taught us to pray as we prepare to go into the rest of the week. And in so doing, we answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in and worshiping with us tonight. And we pray that you would join us again this Friday at 6:30 as we listen to what God has to say about us. You'll be encouraged. Tune in with us.